It's Monday, season 2, episode 15. On this episode of the Union of Muscles podcast, I'll take a moment for a one-on-one with you. I'll talk about personal identity and how that leads to my desire to inspire. I'll talk about the difference between inspiration and manipulation. I'll give a few fit tips, and I will address those who identify themselves as millennials. Now, I know this is a little bit off the beaten path, but it's been a while since we've talked. It's Monday, humanity is waking up, individuals are activating, and you're listening to the Union of Muscles podcast. Lift strong and prosper. The views presented here may or may not be those of the host, guest, Union of Muscle, Black Hat Management, or its affiliates. Any information in this podcast should first be reviewed by the corresponding professional, whether that's medical, financial, or legal, before applying it to your life.
For 10% off, type MUSCLE1 when purchasing at myrubberarm.com and earthskinbodycare.com. I want to thank everyone who's had an opportunity to rate us on iTunes. So if you have iTunes, what you'll want to do is go into the iTunes store section. If you already subscribed to the podcast, you could go on the podcast. And so you want to click on the podcast, and under the podcast itself, you should find a little three dots. And those three dots you can click on, and it says show in iTunes store. And you click on Show in iTunes Store, and you'll see the podcast with the dark background and the flaming head there. It says Details and Ratings and Review. I'll click on Ratings and Review, and it says Click to Rate. And it gives you 5 stars all the way up to the 5th one that says This is Great. And why wouldn't you say that? You can also then write a review, too. And what this does is it helps boost us in the ratings of podcasts, episodes on iTunes, so people have an easier time searching and finding us on iTunes. Now, I haven't gone through and done that for Stitcher yet, but iTunes is a bit more well-known than Stitcher overall. But yeah, so if you get a chance, go on, like, subscribe, share, and comment. Summer is almost here. Do you want to get fit for the summer? Do you want to get beach ready, trim, fit, and feeling good? Our newest coach, Coach Jamie, is running a Summer's Almost Here special to help get you into the shape you want for the warm summer days. Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on the Fitness Coaches tab. There you can find Coach Jamie and his summer special. With Coach Jamie and the Union of Muscle, you can lift strong and prosper. I want to thank all you beautiful fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes for going to www.unionofmuscle.com and clicking on the Patrons tab. There, you are able to sign up as a patron. As a patron, you get access to commercial-free episodes of the Union of Muscle podcast. Additionally, you get additional ways to earn fit coins. You're assigned a Union of Muscle's coach who's going to help you stay accountable to your own personal fitness goals. If you haven't signed up as a patron to the podcast and to the Union of Muscle, go ahead and do so now. Just head over to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on the Patrons tab. And remember to lift strong and prosper. Summer is almost here. Do you want to get fit for the summer? Do you want to get beach ready, trim, fit, and feeling good? Our newest coach, Coach Jamie, is running a Summer's Almost Here special to help get you into the shape you want for the warm summer days. Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on the Fitness Coaches tab. There you can find Coach Jamie and his summer special. With Coach Jamie and the Union of Muscle, you can lift strong and prosper. So I want to talk to you guys about self-identity. And if you don't think this is important in bodybuilding, well, then why are there mirrors in the gym? So as babies, research seems to indicate that we have not always self-identified. So we haven't always been able to go, oh, you know, this body represents me or things like that. It was a lot harder to define who was I at that time or who was me, you know, with that identity issue. We didn't always realize that we weren't all we saw and heard around us. We didn't always realize that we were distinct individual from even our parents. Further proof is that our desires to assert our independence grows in our youth as well. And maybe a part of me hasn't grown up in that instance, or maybe I've just grown outward. This is what makes it so hard for me not to help others to improve their fitness, because I still feel as though the world is a part of me, that humanity is an extension of myself. Not like I feel like a car is an extension of me, but more like my stomach. So my stomach sends signals to me about discomfort, pleasure, and I can affect these signals it sends back. And while my stomach is part of me, it's also a bustling metropolis of microorganisms, enzymes, and more. And while I don't have direct control over what happens in my stomach, like you might over a car, I can affect and influence its reactions. You are like my stomach. You can send me signals and I can respond to that. It can affect me when you're upset, but I don't always have to listen, and I have control over what I do with you or to you, but you also have your ability to react as you like. Although it seems like we have come to some agreement, my stomach and I, on what it likes and what it doesn't like, it's kind of that same way with the rest of humanity. We don't like it when people hurt us or act selfishly in such a way that could cause someone else danger or careless that way. I would not do well without my stomach. And likewise, I would not do well without a connection to humanity. But we all have the ability to choose how we connect. Just like you have the ability to choose what you eat, and when you eat, and how you eat, and you can even do like intermittent fasting, and choose how much you want to interact with humanity, and the quality of that interaction. This is why I feel that if you and humanity are doing well, then it helps me do well, because there's a connection there. There's a connection of self. It's not directly determinative either way, and there are some correlations and even some causations. But humanity is part of me like my stomach is a part of me.
Do you want to lift strong? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on Fitness Coach tab. There, you will find fitness coaches who are ready to help you lift strong. What's great is that once you have your own fitness coach, either as a consultant or one-on-one, you can also earn more Fit Coins for completing the goals the coach has set for you. Lift strong and prosper. Join the union. Do you want to lift strong? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on Fitness Coach tab. There, you will find fitness coaches who are ready to help you lift strong. What's great is that once you have your own fitness coach, either as a consultant or one-on-one, you can also earn more Fit Coins for completing the goals the coach has set for you. Lift strong and prosper. Join the union.
Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Stop working out with pain. Use my favorite pain reliever cream, Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Save 10% when you order at www.myrubberarm.com and type in the coupon code MUSCLE1.
So, when you inspire humanity, in a way, you're also inspiring yourself. If you view others, if you view humanity
as a part of you. Now, maybe this is more like the microorganism in your stomach thinking that it's a part of you. But putting that aside, or letting that launch us forward, now that we know why we want to inspire others, because it's also kind of inspiring ourselves, not that this has to be a selfish thing, but in a way it can be. Unless, of course, we don't look at selfishness the same way, as many people would have us do. So let's look at the difference between inspiration and manipulation. So to really understand the difference between inspiration and manipulation, I think first we have to kind of take a look at what manipulation is. So if we look up a quick Google search here, it says manipulation is psychological manipulation is a type of social influence that aims to change the perception or behavior of others through underhanded, deceptive, or abusive tactics. So I think underhanded and deceptive are a bit self-explanatory. So underhanded is kind of like, I would think, a blackmail type of issue. Deceptive, where you're using lies or other types of subterfuge in order to trick people into it. But abusive tactics, I think that's where there's a little bit of room for ambiguity that we need to kind of fetter out in order to understand the difference between when we're being manipulated or using manipulation and when it's inspiration. And I would think oftentimes there can be a thick, somewhat fuzzy, but still definite demarcation of abusive tactics. The way you can tell fairly frequently when something is being an abusive tactic that would cause us to trigger the difference between manipulation and inspiration is when we're being asked not to think, but to react. Now, sometimes people are asking us to think, but they're really asking us to react. So let's take a look at maybe the ad for your favorite supplement. And they may show fast cars, hot girls, or great-looking guys, and they might say that, hey, you can get this great guy who's good-looking if you take this supplement or that, or girl, of course. They're not really appealing to your ability to process what's in that supplement and how it affects your body. They're just saying react, react. Don't think too much, just react. And oftentimes people might use guilt. They might use fear, the news media, right? They want you to react right away. You got to buy the paper because you need to know whether or not tomorrow's going to be scary. So you have to buy the newspaper. You have to know what the news is so you know what you need to fear. So if they don't want you to think about whether or not that reading that news is actually newsworthy or true, they're just using fear tactics. Of course, guilt is another one. And I think another one that's fairly interesting is when people tie the integrity of a relationship to something that they want. If you really loved me, then, right, they're trying to force you into doing something based upon on whether or not they, you know, they're putting love up for ransom. Their love for you is up for ransom based on whether or not you do or don't do certain things. And these are all what I would think are underhanded, deceptive, and manipulative or abusive tactics. So now that we kind of have a handle a little bit more on what a manipulative tactic is, it's when someone doesn't want you to think about the decision they want you to make, and oftentimes they're using other emotional triggers, or they're putting something up for ransom that has such a high value, like your life, or your love, or your integrity. They're putting something up for ransom that may have actually nothing to do with what is being ransomed. But they're using that tool anyways. So of course, if you love somebody, then buying them something or doing something a certain way, unconditional love shouldn't be predicated on what you do or do not do for somebody, or what you say or do not say for somebody. That's not really what unconditional love is, if there is such a thing. But really, inspiration comes from a place of respect, a place of self-respect, and a place of respect for the other person. So if you really want to inspire someone, you want them to be able to make a conscious decision for themselves based upon the information that you're giving them. Now, of course, I can speak excitedly. I can speak with lots of energy in order to relay how excited I am about this and how excited maybe someone else should be about this. And the fact that I'm talking excitedly is a bit manipulative, maybe, right? But I don't think it reaches the point to where how I speak, if I speak very depressed-like and slow. These are just markers. They're not necessarily so pervasive of a type of influence that it's absolutely gonna ask somebody not to be introspective, right? I'm just getting excited because I'm excited and I want you to be excited. So, but you don't have to be. There's nothing here that I'm predicating your ability to be excited or to be contemplative, I think that is that the word? There's nothing that I'm forcing you into or trying to force you into not thinking about how you want to react. Although I am, in a way, trying to influence it, it's not in an underhanded, deceptive, or abusive means. All right, so this is why movies and TV shows can be so good, because they're usually not triggering guilt, although sometimes some might. They're not usually asking you to forego your ability to think. Well, maybe quite a few of them are, but they're asking you to put aside the fact that reality is real in order to tell their story. But they're really just presenting things in front of your face that you can then take and internalize for yourself, which is why we like a good movie. Because it does ask us to emote, it does ask us to get emotionally involved, but it's not actually asking us to do anything but follow them through that story. It's not asking to change what we're doing or to change our mindset. They may hint at that, but it's not always so forceful. Now, they may slip a Coke can in there or something else to try to manipulate your preferences. But hopefully we can kind of see past all this. And this is another thing that I think is important. That if we can identify how we're trying to influence, then it becomes even less of a manipulation. So let's say that ahead of time, someone were to preface their argument with you and they would say, you know, before I say this, I just want you to know that I'm going to put our love up for ransom in order to influence you to do something for me. Then, of course, now going into that, you're less likely to be manipulated by it because they've kind of revealed to you the tactic ahead of time. Now, someone's ability to do that and say that might be a bit manipulative in the beginning because they're almost letting you know that they've got some issues about how they're talking to you and respecting you. If somebody respects the way they're communicating with you, they're going to trust that you have the ability to make good decisions for yourself or decisions that you feel are responsible and good decisions. Now, when somebody's young and doesn't have the same amount of experience, we don't always trust that they're going to make a well-educated decision. But once we demarcate the line of being an adult, or we start trusting someone to make decisions as an adult would, that means we have to come at it with a certain amount of respect. The same respect we would want people to use to influence us. Right? If we want to, you know, give somebody the arm and the shoulder when they're down and out, in a way that can be a bit influencing. And if you're using guilt or something else to try to get them out of that, it's a very manipulative thing. But if you're just presenting them with a few ideas, maybe you could even say, you know, I've felt this way before, and this is what I've found. Those kind of, I've felt this way, or I've been this way, and this is what I've found, is a bit of a tactic. But it's not necessarily an underhanded or deceptive tactic if it's coming from truth. if it's truly what you have felt and the way you overcame that, or if you're just trying to say something to manipulate them. That's a whole other different story. Now, I don't think that anyone who seeks to manipulate somebody is necessarily a psychopath or somebody who doesn't know how to empathize or sympathize. Sometimes people are just able to get away with it so much that they keep doing it because it's a productive means of getting what they want in life. And sometimes they've found rationalities in order to rationalize that behavior or that way of inspiring. So why is it important if, okay, so let's, this is one rationalization that I think a lot of people can get stuck into. And maybe sometimes I might even look at, and I might say, well, as long as I'm getting them to do an outcome, to give them an outcome which is advantageous for them, or which, of course, I view, right, is advantageous for them, then it's okay. I can use different means of convincing them or manipulating them or inspiring them into that action, no matter what tactics I use, so long as it gets them to the positive outcome that I think they should be at. This, once again, is a bit selfish, and it's how sometimes we rationalize a manipulative behavior. So, can we be inspiring then? Is it impossible to inspire people without manipulating them? Once again, I don't think so. I think it comes from a place of authenticity for yourself. First, you have to kind of be authentic with yourself. If you're false with yourself, if you've built rationality upon rationality in order to get to where you're at, you're going to try to be inspiring, but in the end you'll end up being manipulative because it doesn't come from a place of truth where you've dug down deep and you've found what is the truth. Now, and that's a lifelong search. I don't expect everyone to get there right away, and there's plenty of places where I'm not. But we want to be inspiring. We want people to make conscious decisions based upon information. And some of that information can be emotional. But their decision should not bear weight on your relationship or how you feel. So if you do this, you're going to make daddy really upset. That's a manipulation, right? If you do this, mommy's going to be mad. That's a bit of a manipulation, right? We don't trust that person is able to make a decision for themselves thinking through that. Right? You know, they're about to do something that's not good. The little kid, you know, we're thinking a little kid here, not good. And yeah, we may not trust them to make a rational decision at that moment, which is why it's a lot easier to begin to manipulate children. If we can find a way to do it without it, probably even better. But I can't really speak from a place of authority, other than having been a teacher and having been an instructor for children and having been one myself. And, you know, I think we've all been, hopefully have had some experience teaching our peers even when we were children. So there is some area of expertise I'm coming from, or at least experience. So inspiring. I think it's okay that we use tonality of our voice to inspire, because we're not asking anyone, we're not putting anything up for ransom. We're not putting up their own identity. We're not putting up our identity. We're not putting up the relationship for ransom. And we can ask. I would love that you guys go out there, like, subscribe, share and comment, hire one of our coaches, and whatever else. I would love for you guys to do. I'd love for you guys to have a fitness lifestyle. I really would. But I am not putting anything up for ransom against it. I'm not saying that I'm going to hate you if you don't, or I'm not going to be as happy with you if you don't. I'm not putting anything up for ransom. My emotions, your self-worth, your self-interest. I think that if you do go out there and live a fitness lifestyle, that you will find benefits from it, and I think you'd be a happier person from it. But that's my point of view. I'm not saying that there isn't other ways of being happy, that's the only way of being happy. I just think for the majority of people, fitness lifestyle is going to give you a greater sense of accomplishment in life, of happiness, and ability to overcome and deal with all the garbage or difficulties life puts in your path. Now, there are a lot of things I'm saying in those phrases. You know, I am saying that you can affect me, right? By doing those things, you know, I'll feel more loved or lovely, as John Adams might say, economics guy. You know, when people are studying humanity, they often say people have a desire, or John Adams anyways, an author of economics, he says that people have a desire to feel loved or to be lovely. And, you know, that's to be respected and to want people to think kindly of you and good things of you. We have this natural desire, but that shouldn't be up for ransom when we're making decisions that, you know, people are going to view you like a despot or some low life if you don't do these things. You know, oh, if you don't go exercise, people are going to think you're a lazy slob. Right? That could be it, but right there where we're beginning to attack people on different things. I think this is why some people get into the whole fat shaming thing and skinny shaming thing, is because they're beginning to internalize something that never meant to be internalized. So I think you can be a bit oversensitive maybe to some things, and that might have a lot to do with how possibly you try to influence others. If you manipulate others and use these tactics to manipulate others, sometimes even though someone's not directly trying to manipulate you, you may feel as though they are, because you recognize a possible tactic that's being used, and because you use it so often, you feel that they're using it on you. If you shame others into submission, into getting them to do what you want, then maybe being shamed is something that you have a hard time dealing with yourself, that you view others' reactions with you as them shaming you for some reason. So not only is it important to others that we choose an inspiring route and not a manipulative route, it's also important for ourselves, because once again, we'll begin to see the world as nothing but a manipulation, because we've rationalized manipulating others. Others must have rationalized manipulating me. And it's just one big manipulation. Everybody's out for themselves and they're all just manipulating one another to get what they want. Is that the case? I think that's one way of looking at it, and it's a very easy way of looking at it if you're prone to a lot of manipulations. Now, people lie. We lie about different things, and I don't think that's ever going to stop. But we do have to be a bit of an adult about what we kind of lie about. Do I look fat in this dress? Come on. We know the answer. But you have to look at the integrity part of things. You know, there's certain times when maybe lying might be great for survival. So it really depends on the situation. If you can, I know there's a lot of bad thoughts about lying in the public, but which is a worse crime, to lie about something or to kill? Right? We would automatically know that killing somebody is a worse crime than lying to somebody. So if lying prevents you from, let's say, in a self-defense position, let's say somebody says, give me all your money, and maybe you have the opportunity to say, buddy, I don't think you really want to do that. I actually have a gun on me, and I'd rather not get it. I don't know. I don't know if that's good advice at all. But let's just say some way you can lie to this person, so that way it avoids a confrontation. That's a whole lot better than actually pulling out a gun on somebody and shooting them. All right? Now we've got death on the line. Life and death. So I think we can kind of trace that back and say, well, what is the alternative action that we could take? Is there a less? I'm not saying we should go out there and be liars, not at all. I think the truth is far more interesting than what most lies pretend to be. And I find the truth a lot more exciting myself. But I don't think we should get as hung up on lying as some people do in society. I think there are times when it's very important to tell the truth, when there's a legal investigation going on, when it has to do with how people are going to be making their decisions. So if you're lying to influence someone to make a decision in your favor or for the benefit of someone else that you like, then it is a bit more of a manipulation because we're using an underhanded means. But if we're lying to maybe protect the lives of others, to protect something sacred, to protect something important, to protect your internet password, if somebody says, hey, what's your password? You can say, I'd rather not give that to you. Or you could say, well, if you ever find a way in, you know, it's 1, 2, 3, go fly a kite. You know, and there's sometimes when that information doesn't need to be known and that person is overstepping by maybe asking that question, but you don't want to make a big scene out of it. I think we need to be adults about it. We need to look at that and say, is this lie and manipulation? Is it about lying in order to get what we want or to avoid a consequence, that we don't want that's not, so highly outweighed? And maybe that's the rationality some people are making when they lie. Maybe they've rationalized that it's such a important thing, like life and death, that it rises to that level. I mean, in cards, we call it a bluff, right? Because there's almost an assumption that people aren't going to be telling the truth, and that's kind of part of the game. It's a bluff. And in war, there's a bluff, you know. We're bluffing that we're going to go to war with them, you know. So, we have to kind of look at whether we're inspiring or manipulating. I think lying does play a big part in that. I think if you're lying to inspire people, it's really more of a manipulation. Sometimes we lie to ourselves in order to get where we want to go. But I also think that there is place for positive thinking. So that may not be who you are right now, but that's who you want to be. And there may be a bit of self-manipulation that's okay there, right? It's when we're manipulating ourselves to be a better person, when we're manipulating ourselves to do another rep or to do another set or to get to the gym or to eat right. I think these are the times when maybe a little self-lying or bluffing is a little bit better. Of course, we don't want to necessarily abuse ourselves with, you know, putting something up for ransom. You know, some people put their clothes up for ransom, their ability to dress themselves in public by going out and buying all new clothing. I mean, that's, you know, if that works for you, great, but I don't know how many people it actually would work for. But we don't want to put something up for ransom, but maybe we do want to see ourselves as someone different. And maybe we have to bluff to ourselves or lie to ourselves that we're more than what we are or more than what we perceive ourselves to be. Because I think maybe that's the lie. Maybe that's the true deception, is that we actually don't see ourselves as great as we really are. Maybe the biggest lie we've been telling ourselves is that we're not good enough, is that we're not strong enough, is that we're not able to do something, is that we don't have it in us. Maybe that's the biggest lie of all, because if you look at the time span throughout human history, wow, we have done a lot. We have come a long way. We have done some pretty freaking amazing things as a human race, and not even as a human race, but by individuals within this human race. We've done some pretty freaking amazing things. And so maybe that's the biggest deception of all, is when we tell ourselves we're not good enough. And maybe we need to stop manipulating ourselves into a lower echelon because of fear and doubt. Because if you believe you're not good enough, if you're not strong enough, you're not capable enough because of fear, right? Fear is letting you manipulate yourself. Then yeah, we're not going to achieve more in life. And who says tomorrow that you won't have the ability to do what you want? Who says tomorrow you're not a different person? Because those neurons are, that brain of yours is remapping itself when you sleep, right? New neurons are being strengthened, or neural connections are being strengthened, and olds are being weakened. So that pattern of thought, that pattern of who you are, can change overnight. Your brain has plasticity to it. You can be smarter. You can. Your brain is plastic. I mean, okay, look at these robot guys, right? They're all working on robots to learn how to pick up a cup and move it 3 centimeters. Ask them how many calculations it takes for a robot to pick up a cup and move it and set it down. there are so many calculations, and your brain is making those calculations without you even knowing. That's how freaking intelligent you are. So you have the ability mentally, if you can open your eyes and see the world, if you can hear sound, if you're able to create cognitive thoughts about who you are and what you want, you have more calculating and ability than any machine on this world. And look what these machines can do. Look what we've got them to do. And you have every bit a capability. Maybe not the ability to crunch numbers as fast. They're a little bit better than that, at least on the conscious level. Subconsciously, our brain's pumping out millions and millions of calculations as well. It's just we're not able to control all those calculations. And in fact, if we did, we may take away the fact that it's actually dedicated those calculations, those analog or chemical calculations, to running our body. We don't want to take control over that because maybe you know, having our body change ADT into ATP and to create energy for ourselves might be more important than solving a math problem and survivability. So maybe that's a good thing. But I hope that in this podcast, you guys feel that it's inspiring, that it's not manipulative. And I hope that I never have to retract something for being manipulative. That if I want to use a manipulative tactic, that I do the courtesy of laying it out ahead of time, of telling you that I couldn't think of any other way around it, but that I'm trying to influence you in such a way, and that oftentimes people use X thing to influence. But I hope that it can just be done through pure inspiration. I hope that you guys today learned a little bit about yourselves, learned a little bit about society, learned a little bit about how to lift strong and prosper. I want to thank all you beautiful fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes for going to www.unionofmuscle.com and clicking on the Patrons tab. There, you are able to sign up as a patron. As a patron, you get access to commercial-free episodes of the Union of Muscle podcast. Additionally, you get additional ways to earn Fit Coins. You're assigned a Union of Muscle's coach who's going to help you stay accountable to your own personal fitness goals. If you haven't signed up as a patron to the podcast and to the Union of Muscle, go ahead and do so now. Just head over to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on the Patrons tab. And remember to lift strong and prosper. Do you want to lift strong? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on Fitness Coach tab. There, you will find fitness coaches who are ready to help you lift strong. What's great is that once you have your own fitness coach, either as a consultant or one-on-one, you can also earn more Fit Coins for completing the goals the coaches set for you. Lift strong and prosper. Join the union. Summer is almost here. Do you want to get fit for the summer? Do you want to get beach ready, trim, fit, and feeling good? Our newest coach, Coach Jamie, is running a Summer's Almost Here special to help get you into the shape you want for the warm summer days. Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on the Fitness Coaches tab. There you can find Coach Jamie and his summer special. With Coach Jamie and the Union of Muscle, you can lift strong and prosper. So I keep promising you guys information. And not just inspiration. Sometimes I feel like I get caught up in all the inspiring stories, all the inspiring people that come on the podcast, that I forget to get you guys information on how to build epic bodies and live a fitness lifestyle. So I want to make up for that right now. I want to talk a little bit about the basics of lifting weights. It's because it's what I like to do. First, let's talk about why weightlifting works. And it's because of gravity. Yeah, that weightlifting really is just about fighting gravity. right? The heavier the weight is, the more gravitational pull it has towards the Earth, because the Earth has a huge amount of mass to it, and it likes to pull heavy things down. It likes to, gravity attracts and pulls those together, and I guess we can get science. I don't know how scientific you want to get, whether you want to talk about the Higgs field, which is what gives everything mass, which what allows gravity to work, which when we discovered the Higgs boson and the accelerator over there, that proved that the theory of having that Higgs field worked, which allow everything to have mass, which may lead to all kinds of new discoveries about how to play with mass if we can learn how to manipulate the Higgs boson or the Higgs field. Interesting ideas. However, as of right now, weightlifting works because of gravity. We have some gravity fighters at our disposal. These biceps, triceps, pecs, quads, calves, delts, and all the other muscles are gravity fighters. We defy gravity on a daily basis. But we can change our physique on how well we work at defying gravity. Sounds pretty cool, right? But if we come at weightlifting from the idea that it's about gravity and defying gravity, then we can learn a little bit about how to do it well. First, we know that Earth has the biggest gravitational pull because it's so massive as compared to the rest of us. That's why our feet are stuck to the ground. So that's a good place to start, with our feet. Most exercises, you're going to want to make sure that your feet are parallel, are parallel to each other. So parallel would mean that if you were to draw a line coming out from your toe and coming out from your heel, those lines would never intersect. They would never intersect. I mean, close to it. You don't have to be perfect about it, but that's the idea. And there's some studies that show that because of how ligaments wrap around the knee and go to the ankle, that this is going to help to create added strength and protect yourself against injury down the road. But putting that aside, it's also going to help us make sure that we're putting our heel into the ground and pushing against the earth to keep whatever weight is that we're using from getting sucked down to it. We want a good foundation. Right? And so that's not going to happen on our toes too much. Most of our exercises we're not doing on our toes. We're doing from our heel and midfoot. Heel and midfoot are those that are contacting ground, because guess what? The rest of our leg and the rest of our weight lines up along the heel and the mid and towards the midfoot. Our legs don't come out of our toes, and we don't have our heels extended out behind us, right? In fact, it's the opposite. Our heels are connected to the rest of our leg, and our toes extend out in front of us. So this is where we're pushing against the earth, where we're making sure earth isn't pulling the rest of us to the ground or the weights that we're carrying, right? At least when we're standing. And I encourage that if you're in the beginning of exercise, and even if you're not, go ahead and switch things up and try to do some of, if not most of, your exercises standing and not sitting. Of course, bench press exercise like that, I can't think of very many more in which you can't do standing. Bench press, that'd be nigh impossible to do standing, unless you have a machine. There are some machines where you can work on the bench press standing. But if you're doing free weights, very hard. Anyways, so we've got our feet. We know that we want our heel to midfoot to be pressed against the ground for most of our exercises. Now, there are two main standing positions that we're going to use when we're working out. One is going to be a wide stance, where we're either at shoulder width or larger apart. We're going to have our knees slightly bent. We don't want to do stiff leg the whole time, unless it's a stiff leg workout, like in the name. But unless it says stiff leg, most of the time we're going to have a slight bend in our knee. And then if we're at something where we're not swinging too much and the plane of motion is in front of us or above us and not to our sides or anything like that, wide stance is going to work just fine with our feet firmly planted, slight bend. Some of you might who are in martial arts might know of the horse stance. So it could be any variation of a horse stance, but that's kind of how you can think about it, getting into it. A lot of your squats you can do in this way, unless, you know, you're doing something special. So that's our first stance that we want to think about. Our heels are firmly planted, our knees are slightly bent, our legs are apart. The other is a split leg, where one foot is in front of the other. And we're not doing a huge difference, right? But once again, our feet may not be quite parallel at this point. There might be a slight turn in at the heels, especially on the back one. But they can be straight. They can be creating parallel lines. Just depends on how much weight you're doing and how much stability you need. But that's the other one, and that's your knees are going to be slightly bent. The front one, of course, a lot more than the back one because of your angle. The feet don't have to be right front and directly in each other, but can be a bit spread out. Okay, you want to, of course, turn your hips parallel, right? Because that's going to create the added stability in the form and really make sure that as your hips turn, it's going to kind of dig your feet into the ground a little bit more. If our hips aren't squared up, then it creates a little bit more of instability in our frame. So we're going from feet now up to our hips. Okay? And from our hips, we're going to actually transition into the back. Most of our exercises are going to benefit from having our shoulders down and our shoulder blades pinched together. Right? Shoulders down, shoulder blades pinched together. And that's how I usually do it. I usually try to put my shoulders down and then squeeze my shoulder blades. Now you can squeeze them back and then try to set the shoulders back down, but usually end up doing a little up and then back down again. So that's how to do it. And this is also what creates good posture. Good posture isn't when your shoulders are hunched forward and you're looking down and sad, but good posture is when you've kept those shoulders down and those shoulder blades back and together. And this is where most of our exercises are going to be bench press. You want to keep those shoulder blades together. As soon as you break that squeezing of the shoulder blades together, you've broken form. On a lat pulldown, I struggle with this, but it's keeping my shoulders down. I might be able to keep those shoulder blades together, but sometimes on a lat pulldown, it's very hard to let those shoulder blades pop up. We want to keep those down. Shrug's probably the easiest, the most easy to see how important it can be to keep those shoulder blades back, the shoulder blades touching as best you can, and those shoulders down. Because then when you squeeze up on those traps, then you're actually engaging the muscle. When we do it forward and our shoulders are hunched, we're not engaging those traps nearly as well. When I learned how to engage those traps, thanks to Vic's Naturals on YouTube, my traps increased in size dramatically over the period of exercising. In the last probably 2 years, maybe, my traps have grown dramatically in comparison to what they've done in all the previous years combined because I learned how to do the exercise right. And this is going to come with most of your exercises. Most of your exercises, unless it's going over your head, are usually going to require that your shoulder blades are pinched together and that your shoulders are down. Of course, overhead things, that's going to be a lot different. But anything where you're not going over your head, it's going to be there. Now, of course, there's tons of information out there saying that doing any type of motion where your arms or your shoulders are extended behind your head and you're bringing something down behind your head, that normally that's going to be a compromised position for safety, especially for your arm, for that rotator cuff. Okay. Now I will do, some standing overhead tricep extensions, but my shoulders aren't actually going past my head, or I'm not bringing the weight down behind my head. It's going almost to the top of my head, maybe slightly behind, but it's not, you know, really compromising that shoulder. And then I'll do the same with one arm, except I'm turning out to the side. So I'm no longer having that movement go behind my head, where it's locked in, but I'm almost twisting to the side. So it's kind of coming down and going down and up, and it's not moving along the same joint as it would if I was doing a behind the neck kind of thing with a barbell. So having dumbbells can also help to reduce that, because you're not forcing the arm into a compromised position along the plane of motion. You're going to be able to break behind the neck plane a little bit, which would allow you to actually have improved form. That's another thing to think about when you're lifting, is the plane of motion that you're lifting in. So I like to think of bench press on this, and even curls and tricep work. Most of this is done within a particular plane of motion. So if I'm going to start with my shoulder blades together, my shoulders rolled back, the weights are going to be start at a certain point. And where those weights start, if I'm going high, lower, or mid, where those weights start on the down is the same plane of motion I want to keep it in on the way up. Now, that is not a powerlifting way to do it. This is a muscle-building way to do it. This is the way I do it. This is the way I find that reduces injury and maximizes the benefit of the workout. I am happy if you disagree with me. That is fine. I'm just here trying to give some basic thoughts on how to work out with good form, which is going to reduce injury and increase the effectiveness of the workout as far as muscle building and flexibility. We want to keep up our flexibility. When we start with our workout routine, I always start with a warm-up. I want to warm the muscles up, especially targeting the muscles I'm going to use. Especially the shoulder, the rotator cuff. When I'm about to do anything upper body, I really want to warm up that rotator cuff with a series of different exercises that are hard to explain and easier to show, but this is an audio podcast, so we're just going to have to go from there. After the warm-up, anytime I engage in an exercise, I do lighter weight than where I'm going to lift for the rest of that. Why? Because I want to make sure my form is right. Yes, it helps to do form. It's going to help with mind-muscle connection, but you can't always rely on that mind-muscle connection, because sometimes we're distracted. Sometimes we're distracted by other things. Maybe it's how heavy the weight is. Maybe it's something else in life, but we can get distracted. And that can take away from good form, which of course can lead to injury and ineffective workouts. So I always start off trying to maximize my good form. And I've changed. My body changes from week to week. If you're working out hard, working out right, eating well, your body is making micro changes week to week. And so week to week, you might be different. And you need to learn how to tweak your form in order to be as best as it could for the new body that you have. For all that muscle that you've gained, your body's a little bit different with all that big muscle rolling around. Okay, so you really want to look at your form. Each different exercise that you're doing, and I'll do what I call a warm-up set, where I'm working on my form, getting the muscle ready to do that type of exercise. And then I'll bump my weight up, do my reps, and move on. And then at the end, I do like to do a stretch. They say stretching you want to do at the end. Think of it like taffy. If you pull on cold taffy, if you know what taffy is, if you pull on cold taffy, it's going to snap. If you pull on warm taffy, if you warm it up, you know, fiddle it around with your fingers, warm it up a bit, and then you pull on it, it stretches. They say the same things with your tendons and your muscles, that you want to stretch it when it's already warm. And so that's why I do my stretching after. But stretching is so important. Stretching, being flexible. Flexibility helps you with movement. Movement helps you with life. I mean, if you think about it, how do you know when something's dead? It doesn't move. Right? So the more we have mobility, the better, the longer and healthier life we're going to have a tendency to live. Right? It's great to have muscle. It's great to have a great physique. But if you don't have mobility, if you're stuck like a rock, sitting there looking dumb and muscular, it's not going to help you. Right? But if you have good muscle, as much muscle as like, but you're flexible, when you actually have to use that muscle in real life, because real life muscle necessities aren't always planned out. They come in an instant where your muscles have to react, and it's going to be a lot easier for you to overcome and do well at life's expectations of body and endurance and muscle when you have flexibility to that muscle. That's why you don't always do short range of motion. You need to do some full range of motion workouts if you're trying to build a functional body. Yes, short, compacted movements can build bulk of muscle faster than doing that full range of motion. But what you're doing is you're building up weakness in your muscle because it's going to be strong in one area and weak in another. And when you have to do something in real life, it's going to cause a compromise in your muscle. And you're more likely going to be prone to injury. These are just my thoughts. Once again, I'm just rambling on about what I like and what I do when it comes to working out. So you know what some YouTubers might say about this being advice and do whatever you want. But this is the Union of Muscle, and I say, lift strong and prosper. I want to thank everyone who's had an opportunity to rate us on iTunes. So if you have iTunes, what you'll want to do is go into the iTunes store section. If you already subscribed to the podcast, you could go on the podcast. And so you want to click on the podcast, and under the podcast itself, you should find a little three dots. And those three dots you can click on, and it says show in iTunes store. And you click on show in iTunes store, and you'll see the podcast with the dark background and the flaming head there. It says details and ratings and review. I'll click on ratings and review, and it says click to rate. And it gives you 5 stars all the way up to the 5th one that says this is great. Why wouldn't you say that? You can also then write a review too. And what this does is it helps boost us in the ratings of podcasts, episodes on iTunes, so people have an easier time searching and finding us on iTunes. Now, I haven't gone through and done that for Stitcher yet, but iTunes is a bit more well-known than Stitcher overall. But yeah, so if you get a chance, go on, like, subscribe, share, and comment. I want to thank all you beautiful fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes for going to www.unionofmuscle.com and clicking on the Patrons tab. There, you are able to sign up as a patron. As a patron, you get access to commercial-free episodes of the Union of Muscle podcast. Additionally, you get additional ways to earn Fitcoins. You're assigned a Union of Muscle's coach who's going to help you stay accountable to your own personal fitness goals. If you haven't signed up as a patron to the podcast and to the Union of Muscle, go ahead and do so now. Just head over to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on the Patrons tab. And remember to lift strong and prosper. Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Are you lifting with pain? Well, stop it. There's no more excuses, because I use Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Now, many of you know that Rubber Arm Muscle Rub was on the podcast talking about how it is that they got their product to market, and you can listen to that episode. But I want you to go to www.myrubberarm.com. Myrubberarm.com, all one word. And there, when you place your order for a Rubber Arm Muscle Rub, type in MUSCLE1 as your coupon code. This will get you 10% off, and it also helps the podcast out. So, if you're lifting in pain, stop it. You don't need to do it anymore. Go out and get rubbed. Get Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Remember, www.myrubberarm.com. and type in MUSCLE1, that's the number one, not the word, into your coupon code for 10% off and to help out the Union. Do you want to lift strong? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on Fitness Coach tab. There, you will find fitness coaches who are ready to help you lift strong. What's great is that once you have your own fitness coach, either as a consultant or one-on-one, you can also earn more Fitcoins for completing the goals the coach has set for you. Lift strong and prosper. Join the Union. Do you want to lift strong? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on Fitness Coach tab. There, you will find fitness coaches who are ready to help you lift strong. What's great is that once you have your own fitness coach, either as a consultant or one-on-one, you can also earn more Fitcoins for completing the goals the coach has set for you. Lift strong and prosper. Join the Union. Summer is almost here. Do you want to get fit for the summer? Do you want to get beach ready, trim, fit, and feeling good? Our newest coach, Coach Jamie, is running a Summer's Almost Here special to help get you into the shape you want for the warm summer days. Go to www.unionamuscle.com and click on the Fitness Coaches tab. There you can find Coach Jamie and his summer special. With Coach Jamie and the Union of Muscle, you can lift strong and prosper. You've been listening to the Union of Muscle podcast. All rights are reserved by the content's creators.